There is a an editorial in the latest edition of the Canadian Medical Association Journal, which says, basically, that codeine should not be used. It should be phased out until more research can be done because it is a risky business. Dr. Alan Finley is a pediatric anesthesiologist at the IWK, and he joins me on the phone. Doctor, this is a little bit scary, considering that I've probably taken more Tylenol-free than most people, and now I'm scared to death.
Well, you don't need to be scared.
Okay.
Here's the issue.
Yeah.
Codeine by itself doesn't actually do anything for pain control. Codeine has to be converted into morphine in the liver to have an effect on pain, because morphine is a very good and well understood chemical that blocks pain receptors.
Okay.
The problem is most people in this country, this community, convert codeine into morphine properly.
All right.
But there are a certain percentage that convert codeine into much more morphine than you'd expect. That's the that's the group that the editorial in the Canadian Medical Association is referring to.
And the only way you're going to find that out is allergy to penicillin. You take it once and find out you're allergic.
That's basically right. I mean, there would be a way to test the genetics of individual people to find out if they have those particular enzymes, but that's not being done in any practical way. It's only being done in research labs at the moment. So there seems to be a small percentage, probably 5% or thereabouts, in the Canadian population, but a much higher percentage in other groups from different parts of the world who convert codeine into more morphine than is expected. That can be dangerous, obviously.
Do we know why that's happening?
The normal enzymes in the liver that handle drugs, that either metabolize drugs so that we can get rid of them when we're done with them, or convert drugs into their active forms, are different in different people. And that's inherited differently, so there are different groups that have genetically different ways of handling drugs, in the same way that there are people who have brown hair or blonde hair and blue eyes or brown eyes. There's also another issue. There's also a group, and that's probably 10 to 15% in our population, who don't have the enzyme at all to convert codeine into morphine, and then they don't get any pain relief from codeine. That percentage is probably higher in children. So what that means is that you've got three groups. You've got most people, most adults, who take codeine and get an expected response in dealing with their pain. If that's the group you're in and it works for you, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
There is a group for whom codeine could be dangerous, and you don't know ahead of time who those people are until they notice that they get really sleepy or dizzy or have much more effect than you'd expect. And then there's another group who will tell you that those Tylenol 3s actually don't work for them, and that's probably... those are probably people in the group who don't make the conversion of codeine into morphine and therefore don't get pain relief. The thing that interests me, because I'm a pediatric pain management specialist, is that that many children don't actually develop the enzyme in their younger years, even if they are going to do so later. So you not only have the group that will never develop the enzyme, but you'll have a group that haven't developed it yet when they're young children, and therefore they don't get benefit from codeine.
Explain something to me which I don't understand, and you're going to think, boy, this guy is Jimmy the Dunce.
No.
This is a really stupid question.
There are no stupid questions.
Why don't we just use morphine as opposed to using codeine?
And that's the $64 question. Codeine's been around for a long time.
Yep.
A lot of physicians and the public are very comfortable with it.
Yeah, like I've got Tylenol 3 in my closet for my arthritis.
Yeah, and it works for you, so that's fine.
Yep.
The trouble is, it's been around so long that it was common practice to use it before the drug testing and regulatory systems came into place
okay.
in Canada and the United States and around the world. I'm pretty sure that if a drug company went to Health Canada or the FDA and said, we have this exciting new drug that relieves pain, it doesn't work in 5 to 15% of people, and it can be dangerous for 5%, but we still think it would be a good idea, that it would never be passed.
Yeah, that's a bit like the cigarette story, right? If nobody had invented cigarettes and somebody came along with them and said, look at this great product, you inhale it into your lungs and it does all
right.
that, it would never get on the market.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's been around a long time, so people are used to it. It's available over the counter in the 8 milligrams with acetaminophen,
mm-hmm.
like the Tylenol number 1 and other brand
mm-hmm.
products.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people for whom it works, that's okay. The trouble is, the people who wrote the editorial in the CMAJ, Drs. McDonald and McLeod,
right.
and people like myself,
right.
think that exactly as you suggested, it doesn't make sense to give a drug that's converted into a different drug when it might not work or it might be dangerous, when you can just give the other drug. You can just give morphine.
Okay, we've got about 60 seconds here.
Sure.
If I wasn't using, or if you weren't going to use the codeine and the Tylenol 3, what's the equivalent or better?
Well, we have a lot of ways to treat pain.
Sure.
If you're going to use a drug in that category, like codeine and morphine, morphine's sort of our gold standard.
Yeah.
There are other similar drugs that do similar things. Part of the problem is that people are frightened of those drugs,
mm-hmm.
and it's wise to be cautious of them, but you don't need to be frightened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that if you use codeine and it works for you that you need to worry about yourself at all or rush out and change things,
right.
because if it works, it works.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that when we're giving it to patients who haven't used it before, it's not a very logical thing for us to be doing. So
you
there's
as
a movement to try and change that in hospitals.
You, as a pediatric anesthesiologist, you would not give codeine to little children?
I don't, no, because I can't predict whether it's going to be effective or not. And I'm at least as worried, if not more worried, about it not working and not relieving pain as I am about it being too effective.
Okay, at the same time, would you give morphine to that same child?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Even very young children, even infants, can have morphine if it's prescribed properly under the right circumstances for the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense to me. Why would anybody use codeine if it converts to morphine if you can use morphine and skip the...
And that's exactly right.
Well, it seems pretty simple. Do you think there's a chance of getting it changed?
Well, I think so. It's changing in hospitals. SickKids has just taken it out of their formulary and their practice. We're hoping to do the same thing here at the IWK and the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario in Ottawa is working on that as well. I'm sure others will follow suit.
Thanks for talking with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank
Dr. Alan Finley, a pediatric anesthesiologist at the IWK in Halifax, talking. It just seems so silly to someone who's just a layperson. You give them a drug that doesn't say it's a drug but converts to another drug. Why not skip the first one? Anyway, we'll come back.